This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are 5.7 million Americans living with heart failure, so says the American Heart Association. And when that failure has advanced to the point where medications, stents, pacemakers, lifestyle changes no longer work, that patient may wind up on the list of people waiting for a transplant, a new heart. But with more than 3,000 people on that list, the wait can be long. How do you stay alive while waiting for a transplant? For some patients, the answer is an artificial heart. Let's take a listen. That is the artificial heart keeping Stan Larkin alive right now. Stan received this artificial heart November 7th at the University of Michigan. And what makes Stan so unique is that he has become the first patient in Michigan to go home with his artificial heart, waiting for his transplant at home rather than in a hospital. Stan Larkin is 24 years old. He is from Ypsilanti, and he is with us now. It's so good to meet you, Stan. Welcome.
Thank you.
So surgeons removed your heart November 7th, and here you are sitting with me in our studio, and I hear this noise of what's keeping you alive. Tell us what this is.
This is a total artificial heart. It's like they removed the ventricles. All I got left is an atrium, and they place plastic ventricles in to pump the blood and the oxygen through my body, connected through two tubes that goes to the Freedom Driver, which is in the backpack.
And that's what's so unique, because up until you, when someone in Michigan had to have an artificial heart, that driver that kept it running and pumping was this great big thing about the size of a washing machine, isn't it? They call it a Big Blue.
Big machine.
Big machine. And here you are with this portable driver called Freedom, which is a real appropriate name, isn't it? And it's in a backpack.
Yes. And move around, do everything you want to do. Feel like you going to school with the backpack on.
That is really amazing technology breakthrough, but I'm sure the way you can live your life out and about, being here with us, being at home, being with your family, what a difference that has to make in just how you feel as you kind of buckle down and wait to get the call from the transplant team.
Oh, yeah, it feels good to me because I can do a lot more than when I had the sick heart. So it's like I feel better at home than I would in the hospital.
Now you're only 24. You know, you're a young guy, and here you are on this transplant list. When did you first discover you were suffering from a problem with your heart?
When I was 16, out on a basketball court like a regular teenager, and I blacked out and fainted.
And then what?
Then I went to the hospital. They stitched me up. Then I went to my pediatrician. He scheduled me for an EKG. Once I got the EKG, they saw that I had an irregular beat. Then they asked my parents if they want to do something about it then or just wait till further or just let me keep going and playing until something else happens. And they said, no, we'll take care of it now. So when I was 16, I got the defibrillator.
And that worked for a while?
Yes, all the way up till I started retaining fluids in 2012.
Which is not a good sign. That's a sign that your heart's failing, isn't it?
Yes. Heart kept getting weaker and weaker. I go to the hospital. They'll pull the fluids off. Then 6 months down the road, my body will fill back up with fluids. But after a while, the fluids stop going away. Then they start going to other...
going elsewhere?
Getting to my other organs, stopping them from working.
So the doctors said?
They said at the rate it was going, with the heart that I had, they said, unless I got this total artificial heart, I probably wouldn't last but another month and a half, and that wasn't long enough for transplant.
That is a tough thing to hear as a young person. And then when did you find out that you were going to be able to have this Freedom pack to be able to not be stuck in the hospital?
I found that out after I got to rehabilitate myself while I was on Big Blue and going through all the physical therapies, got my body back strong. And I can move around. And they said, at the rate it's going, we can switch you from this to a portable device.
And this device only got approved by the FDA last year, so you're really on the forefront of a great breakthrough.
Yes, first person in Michigan to be successful with it. They tried it on other people, but they had to take it right off within a few days.
I wonder, do your doctors tell you why it succeeded with you and not with others?
I don't know. He tried to say it's because I'm so young and my ambition.
And you've got that fire. And what's really amazing to add to all of this is that your brother also suffers from heart disease?
Yes, and he just got on the Freedom Driver.
So there's both of you on the Freedom Driver.
Yes.
He was on Big Blue.
Yeah.
So he too, so you are both on that, on the transplant list, which just is pretty mind-boggling to think of what that takes with you as a family, everybody having to kind of pull together and get through this.
Yeah, but we're all happy because it's coming to the end. We've been dealing with it since 2007, so we're pushing towards the end now because, hey, heart's coming soon.
Well, here you are, and you look absolutely great. I mean, there's this noise that you didn't even kind of stop noticing the noise, don't you, after a while?
Oh, yeah. I don't even. I'm nose blind to it until somebody brings it up like, hey, what's that sound?
Yeah. And you think about it, it's a happy sound. It means good
things. Oh, yeah,
things.
To me.
It means very, very good things. But you know, you stop and you think that there are over 3,000 people waiting for new hearts.
Yeah.
And there, at the same time, there are people who either do not want to sign up to be organ donors or it's never even occurred to them. What would you say to those people about the need for organ donors?
Oh, no, I say it's pretty helpful because a lot of people need them. And I mean, not to wish death on anyone, but once you're gone, what more can you do with it? You might as well use it to help someone else because I'm a donor myself.
You signed up. Your,
yes.
Your organs are fair game.
Yes.
And that's important. Giving, like paying it forward in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have no idea when that call is going to come.
No idea. It could come today.
But in the meantime, what is having this Syncardia temporary total artificial heart plus having this Freedom Driver to carry around? What does that mean for you?
Oh, it means a lot. It keep me pumping. This, as of now, this is my lifeline, so I love it. It makes me, I feel a lot better than before when I had the heart. I'm able to do more. Before, when my heart was so weak, I only wanted to walk from the car to the house. Other than that, when it was time to go to the mall, I wouldn't get out the car. I'd send somebody in, be like, this is what I want. I'd send pictures and everything, call and have it at the front.
It must mean a lot to be able to be a lot more like a 24-year-old than a 94-year-old, right?
Yes. A lot better.
So you don't miss that sick old heart, but you're
certainly... No, not at all.
Certainly waiting for the call from the transplant team.
Yes.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Stan, and to your brother Dominique, as you both wait for the call from the transplant team. And will you promise that you'll check in with us when that happens and we get to see you with your new heart?
Yes, and we greatly appreciate it.
All right. Stan Larkin of Ypsilanti, first person to leave a Michigan hospital without a human heart. His total artificial heart is being pumped, as you can hear, by a portable device called Freedom as Stan awaits his heart transplant. Thank you so much for being with us today, Stan.
No problem.